Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 30th verse. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
The gospel of Mark is thought to be the first of the gospels that were written. First, they weren't even going to write the Gospels down because Jesus said, "I'll be back before this generation passes away." All of a sudden, the first believers were starting to die, and someone had the idea, we better get these stories written down. So his is the first, and it's the shortest. And it seems as if he's in a hurry, like writing the Gospel was something he just needed to get off his to-do list. Because he's constantly writing things like, "and on the way," in Greek it's "on the road," "and on the way to Caesarea Philippi," Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Some say Elijah, and Peter quickly says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He's made the church, and then he turns around when Jesus says, "I'm going to have to suffer, and I'm going to die." Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus rebukes him. This is the second time that Jesus has said that he's going to suffer and that he's going to die. And for some reason, that only a Hungarian psychoanalyst can explain, they don't get it. They can't hear those words. They're too busy trying to figure out when this movement, when this great social movement really catches on, which one of us is going to be the most important. I don't know how many of you watched the presidential election this past week. Me and about 24 million people watched it. And I couldn't help but think, wouldn't it be wonderful if those of us who were thinking about the next president, if we were not wondering who's going to have the most money or whose campaign is going to outflank the next, what if we were searching for the person who would be a servant? Wouldn't that be amazing? I mean, there are politicians who are servants. I think Abraham Lincoln was one. I think our own Elizabeth Warren is one. Someone who points not to oneself, but to the crowd. Now, in the time of Jesus, children were not valued at all. Maybe the firstborn was important to give family prestige. Boy, sorry. But after that, there's just another mouth to feed, right? It would be as if someone were trying to say, Jesus, what kind of person is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus brought in a welfare mom and said, unless you become like this, you're not going to make it. So as the church begins to search for the next pastor, I would invite everyone to think about what it means to be a servant. I mean, in the Church of the Open Arms, there are certainly lots of servants. I think of Bo and Kenny, and they weren't here today, and the coffee didn't get made. You know, you can tell when the servant doesn't show up. I think of Gloria, who comes and makes sure the sanctuary is ready, who puts communion together, who takes care of all these little things in the worship team. and no one ever notices, and she never needs the things. I think of Suzanne, who has looked at contracts, who has been your unpaid associate pastor since I've been here, and I couldn't have done it without you. I'm grateful that the people on the search committee are going to be good servants, and I ask that you pray for them and make them servants. I'm going to end with words that you know, that you have heard, but my preaching mentor, Fred Craddock, used to say, sometimes you just need to give a congregation something that they can say amen to. Sometimes you need to hear the words that you already know. These are the words of St. Francis of Assisi, and you could probably say most of the words with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we find eternal life. Thanks be to God. Amen. I would